We've had a lot of lessons as I've been here over different topics, over different attitudes of Christ, over patience, over love, over hope, over endurance, over all different things. And one of the ones that really we did as soon as I got here, one of the first lessons, was on faith. And I thought that we might review faith, since it's been quite a while since we've talked about faith, and really just talk about what it is, talk about, you know, some examples that we can look at from the Bible as far as showing that faith that we also need to have as Christians. So, of course, we always go to Hebrews 11 as our first chapter in talking about faith. There are many other great chapters as well, of course, but Hebrews 11 is the one that I usually like to go to first and foremost. Hebrews 11, and we're going to read the first parts of this, as we even have before. Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 12. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. Verse 3. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. We talked about some of that this morning. By faith Abel, verse 4, offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he being dead still speaks. And by faith Enoch was taken away, so that he did not see death, and was not found, because God had taken him. Before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. We're going to finish out through verse 12. And by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. She bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. And verse 12 finally, therefore from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. So there are many, many, many different accounts re-talked about in the book of Hebrews, re-looked over. And it's a beautiful, beautiful hall of faith that you can continue to look at. I won't go through every single one of these accounts. Of course, there's even many more as you go throughout the chapter. But these first ones here, we need to realize that as we talk about faith, we need to first understand what it is. What is faith? And we just really define it there even in the first verse of that chapter. A lot of people, when you ask, define faith for me, they immediately go to this. Verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So whenever we talk about faith, first, aside from the fact that faith and works go together, it's another lesson entirely, faith is also something that has something else along with it. It has hope along with it. As Christians, we need hope. If we don't have hope, there's no point in going on as a Christian. We need that hope. God understood that. That's why all across the Bible, He promises. Back with Israel, it was the land of Canaan. Back with Abraham, it was the promise. It was the heir. It was the seed. Back with even Adam, it was bless the whole earth, multiply the whole earth in Genesis. All throughout time, God has promised, given hope, because hope is necessary for the belief of somebody in something higher. And of course, God knew that, and all throughout time, He has promised different things. But of course, the ultimate promise was heaven. Of course, even Abraham, even in the book of Luke, is seen to have been even in paradise. As we mentioned this morning, we mentioned many different things, talking about the spiritual conflict that goes on behind the scenes, of course, behind, you know, the veil, as far as what we can see with the fleshly eyes. We can't see everything that goes on in the spiritual realm. We can't see those things that happen today. We can just read the Word of God and understand, you know, different glimpses that we can get from that. But of course, we even by faith believe that these things are going on. And that this Bible is telling us the truth with all these things. That the devil really is on the prowl. That Jesus really did die for us. That all that happened in the New Testament Scriptures, even with the Acts of the Apostles in the book of Acts. We believe that all that happened. We believe that Paul even went through all the sufferings that he did. He healed that man who fell out the window. He healed that boy. We believe that that happened. We believe all these different things happened, brethren. And remember that faith, that belief that you have, that that happened, also has a hope along with it. As you just read Hebrews 11:6, we understand first that it's impossible to please God without this belief in Him. But also, what do we see along with it? For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that what? He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That's aligned with the hope that we were just talking about. You see, faith and hope, they actually go hand in hand. They're almost interchangeable. They go right together. If you don't have hope along with that belief, it's nothing. There's no reason. Basically, faith is nothing here. Faith, even in the definition of what the Holy Spirit defines it as, has this hope. That's what the Holy Spirit's definition. Verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So, of course, we don't see those things that are coming yet that are a promise in the future, but yet we still have that hope that the promise is eventually going to be fulfilled. We understand that this belief that we have will eventually be fulfilled in the future. Maybe even based on things in the past that we can read about God. The traits of God, how we know God is a righteous God, fulfilling His promises. We look through these accounts in Hebrews 11. We see all these different acts of faith that these people went through, and that now they're enjoying paradise as we speak. So all these different things, all these different acts, they should encourage us. They should inspire us as Christians. Help us to endure in our faith even longer, even stronger than we were before. That's why it's written for us. I encourage you every chance that you get down in your life, every chance that you get, go back to the Word. If it's Hebrews 11, read that. It's going back over accounts that actually happened. If it's in the Old Testament, go back and read that. If it's back in Genesis, go read the different accounts like with Joseph and how he was sold into slavery by his brothers. I mean, accounts like that and how he got through that, they help us to endure as Christians. They help us to strengthen our faith. So go back and read those accounts, Christians. They help you. They strengthen you. I encourage you to do that. But once again, that hope that Joseph had that God was going to deliver him, that hope that Abraham had that the seed was going to come, Isaac had that the seed was going to come, and of course Jacob, and all the ones down the line that would carry on that line of Jesus, of course, even David, they had that hope. Why? Of course, they had that faith. So hope and faith, they go together. We need to understand that first. But the evidence of things not seen. So as we also mentioned this morning, talking about Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, whenever we try to understand things not seen and things behind the curtain, so to say, Romans 1:20, of course, proves the existence of God by the things that are made. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So, God may not be visible to the fleshly eye. Angels may not be visible to the fleshly eye. Maybe even the devil himself may not be visible to the fleshly eye. However, we know that these things are going on behind the scenes, so to say, you know, in the spiritual conflict, in the spiritual realm. And on that side of things, we can't see it going on with our physical eyes, but we know it's going on. Why? Because God told us. And of course, that faith that we have is also with the hope that if we fight against that evil, if we fight against the devil, if we resist him, he will flee from us. We will get heaven. We have that faith. You see, it goes along with that hope once again. And while we can't see those things with our fleshly eyes, we have the evidence of even things not seen. But we do, of course, have creation all around us. So taking the fluency of the Scriptures, we can understand also that we don't have absolutely no evidence. Why is the sky blue once again? Because of God. why does space have so many stars? Because of God. Why are we even living the way we do with all our circulatory systems, with our, you know, with our brain? Why do we have arms and legs the way that we do? Because of God. Why do we have emotions? Why do we laugh? Why do we cry? Why do we do all of those things? Because of God. So we understand that God is the one who put those things in place. God is the one who, of course, made everything the way that it is. We have faith in that, even by things, maybe even that are seen in the physical realm. But of course, in Hebrews 11, it's really talking about spiritual things, you know, things that are not seen. But we have faith that those things are, with hope, of course. And is not the Bible supported? And we've talked about the eyewitnesses of Christ on different Sunday mornings. We went through many different miracles previously to this. We've gone through many different accounts with miracles of Christ, demon possession healings. We've gone through talking about, you know, Jesus healing paralyzed people and Jesus doing all these different things. These are all accounts by different people who wrote those different gospel accounts. In the Acts of the Apostles, you have many different accounts with different people doing healings, of course, all in the name of Jesus Christ. Of course, you have the Father, as we mentioned this morning. The Father accounting that Jesus is the Son of God at the Transfiguration on the Mount. All of that accounting to Jesus. So it's not like we have nothing, Christians. We have every reason to believe in our God. We have every reason to believe in our God, even Jesus. That Jesus even is God, John chapter 1. So by faith we believe these things are so. We're not left with nothing. The Holy Spirit gave us the whole Word of God with about 40 different writers who wrote it for us in different backgrounds and different times. You understand that? How much God did for you so that you can be holding all of what history God wants you to know in your hands so that you know how to be saved in your present age. How beautiful is that? How amazing is that? So by faith. Now, as we read this, we're just going to kind of read this a little bit quicker. But Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13, we're going to go back there. Hebrews 11 and verse 13. Of course, I can't stop in talking about faith until I, of course, first tell you how faith is earned in the first place. How does faith come? By hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. Every one of us should know that. You have to, of course, tell people these accounts that we were just talking about in order for people to even believe in them. Christianity, once again, is a taught religion. It's not something that's inherited. It's a taught religion. Just even as maybe even apostasy can be taught to people, maybe even different types of denominational doctrines can be taught to people, or world religions can be taught to people, Christianity, the true religion of God, that also has to be taught to people. People have to make the choice, and God gave us that free will to be able to do so. Now, Hebrews 11, verse 13. These all, having died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now, we've mentioned this verse before. This is one of the most beautiful sets of verses here that is in the Bible to me, because they're really assured of the promises that they have. They're saying that they're strangers and pilgrims, not on the land. You realize what they just said? What this Hebrews writer is really accounting to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all these people who had this faith? Their home was not on earth, on this world, as they knew it. Abraham and all those guys, Noah, they knew the world around them. They knew it wasn't their home. Even, you know, all the different people like Ruth, that you're going to read, of course, in this chapter as well. All these different people, Rahab. They knew this earth wasn't even their home. Do we know that? Christians, sometimes I think we get so caught up in this life that we almost don't even want to leave this life. We don't want to leave this life. We don't want anything to do almost with heaven sometimes. And maybe that's not the case with some of us. But we need to understand that heaven is much better than this life. It's so much better. They hadn't yet received these promises, though, Christians. And yet they're still believing in them. That faith that they had had a hope. It had a promise alongside it. You see those two once again, hand in hand. Genesis 6:22. Did Noah stop building the ark just because he didn't see the flood come yet? Had anything like that happened prior to Noah building that ark? No. But he still built that ark because he knew that God, whenever he said something, it was going to happen. And guess what? It happened. We have it in Genesis 6 through 9. It happened. So that flood came by faith. Noah finished the ark. It was accounted to him for righteousness. Genesis 5:24. If we go back there and read about Enoch, it's very short in talking about Enoch. But Enoch, like even Elijah, was even taken by God. Genesis 5:24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. You also read there in Hebrews 11 the same thing about how Enoch was even taken by God, of course, because of his faith. What great faith that you must have in order to be taken by God. Now, if God was to pick, pick one of us today to take one of us because we have such great faith in Him and in His abilities, which one of us would He take? Or would He take all of us? You know, ask yourself that question. You know, maybe it might not happen today as far as that goes, but which one would He take? Would He take me? Would He take you? Would He take us because of our faith? Or is it time to strengthen our faith? Is it time to realize that there's hope that goes along with our belief? Is it time to be better at our endurance as a Christian? You know, the Christian walk is all about growing, guys. It's all about growing. It's not something that you just stop on. Something that you need to realize is that you're always a student. No matter what age that you are, you're always a student. You have to be ready to learn more from the Word of God all the time. God is the one who preaches to you as far as spiritual things go, not man. I'm up here and I'm giving you the Word of God. If I was giving you my own thoughts, I wouldn't have this Bible up here with me and I wouldn't be directing you towards scriptural passages. God is the one who matters in spiritual things. We need that Scripture. We need that on a daily basis. We need that on a weekly basis. If not daily, weekly. We need that every other daily basis. So, we've got to dedicate time. We've got to strengthen our faith. Would God take us for our faith if He was to choose one of us? If He was to pick all of us, would He take us? Of course, that's something we all need to ask our own hearts. But Romans chapter 1 and verse 17 is another scripture I thought I'd look at real quick. Romans 1 verse 17 says, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So we should all live in such a way of faith in Christ that God would see fit to take us also from this life and bring us onto our reward. Are you one of the just that live by this faith and belief, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen? Or do you have to see something with your fleshly eyes? Remember how we talked about how whenever those Pharisees and some of those Jews alongside and some people of the world, they would see those miracles of Jesus or of the apostles in Jesus' name. They would see those things happen and they would still turn those things down. That's to show you that while those things were to prove the message in the messenger, truly, the heart of a man makes his own decisions. God has given that ability to mankind. We have to make our own decisions as far as spiritually goes. Physically as well, but spiritually, most importantly. God has given us that ability. And whenever they saw those miracles, those things were to prove the message. And they might, you know, have gotten excited about it in those moments, or for a couple weeks, or for a couple years, or whatever. But what happened when the devil started creeping in again? Those times can be forgotten. How easy is it for us to forget things? It's incredibly easy as humans. So, by faith, although we must endure, we must continue to have that hope, continue to have that belief. You see, it's a continual process. It's a continual growth. It's not something that just stalemates. That's why you can't be lukewarm. That's what Jesus was talking about with that church in Revelation. You can't be lukewarm. You can't be just stalemating. You have to be growing all the time. For your own good, for your brethren's own good, for your family's own good, you have got to be growing. So, increase your faith, brethren. That's my encouragement to you tonight. A few more things. Mark 11, 22 through 24. Mark 11, 22 through 24. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. What did we just see there, even in talking about prayer? Jesus indicates that you have that belief, and then you also have the understanding that there's hope with that belief. That what you're asking for, that you're going to receive it. So there's hope with that belief, you see? Faith and hope, once again, going hand in hand, even in prayer. If you don't believe God's going to help you in the things you're asking for, what's the point in even praying in the first place? You got to have that faith that God is even a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, as in Hebrews, and that you will receive the things that you even ask according to God's will. So, different side notes, but 1 John 5:14-15 is another one as far as prayer goes. 1 John 5:15-14. Or 14-15. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. So, we have that confidence. That confidence, of course, even being introduced into the concept of also faith. Do you have that endurance? Do you have that confidence in God? Do you have that faith in God, the belief and the hope in God, and in His rewards even, in His abilities? You know, some people get hung up on making sure that they die correctly. Now, we talked about that in our prior lesson on faith whenever I got here. Some people get so hung up on, you know, making sure that they're not cremated so that they'll live on, because they think if their fleshly body is completely disintegrated, that they're not going to live on. They think they have to have their body intact, maybe in the grave, in order to live on. That's just silly. The fleshly body, once again, is fleshly, as we read this morning. And the spiritual body is spiritual. It will leave your fleshly body when you pass from this life. Whenever we all die, our spiritual body goes on. We need to understand that, Christians. We need to have that faith that God will endure even our bodies. Do you have that? You see, that's hope as well. Do we have that hope that God, of course, will deliver? That He has those abilities? That the infinite God, in all of His majesty, can deliver us even from death? By the way, what's the thing that caused death in the first place? And that God really even kind of cursed man in the Garden of Eden? Sin was the thing that caused death in the first place, and God was the one who cursed mankind with it because of sin. That was the punishment. Is God in control of death? Yes, He is. Yes, He is. Can He control our bodies? Who's the one who formed man's body from the ground with dust? God is. Who's the one who took a rib out of man and made a woman? God is. You think He can remake your body if He wanted to? Yeah, it's just a silly thing. It's just a silly thing that Christians will get hung up on. So just a little side note there as well. But let's go back to Hebrews. Let's go back to Hebrews in chapter 11, verse 13. Of course, 1 Timothy 6:12 is also a good verse for fighting the good fight of faith. The man of God, of course, is to pursue that fighting of faith all the time. Hebrews 11, 13, though, we're going to continue in this text in verse 14. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. So, once again, they've confessed that they're strangers and pilgrims on the earth, verse 13. They're declaring plainly that they seek a homeland, that this world is not their home. We all know that song, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. The heavens are laid up somewhere beyond the blue." We know that song. And, of course, that is a very beautiful song that we all need to be singing. I say more so. And that's a whole other lesson entirely. I'm trying to get into rabbit holes. But prayer's not the only thing that you can do whenever you're feeling down. Song is also something you can do. You know, just singing a song to God. I've done that plenty of times in my life when I was feeling down. You know a song? Just sing it. If you can't get all the words exactly right, that's fine. But just sing to God in those private times or whatever. Be encouraged and be strengthened. Singing is also an act of worship to God. You can do that yourself if you want to. That's something else that can also strengthen you, as well as reading Scripture, studying Scripture, praying to God in your own time. All these things will help strengthen you spiritually. But 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 through 22, or 11 through 12, 2 Peter 2, 11 through 12 says, no, it's 1 Peter 2, 11 through 12. 1 Peter 2, 11 through 12. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify the day of visitation. So those same kind of words used there, even in 1 Peter, you know, strangers and pilgrims, that's what we are, Christians. That's what we are on this earth. We're strangers. We're pilgrims. We're even, you know, might even so-called aliens. You know, what do you think of with an alien? Somebody not from this place. That's really what we are, Christians. Why? Because this is not our home. Our home is literally beyond the scale of this physical realm. Do you understand that? It's beyond the veil that we were talking about this morning. It's beyond that physical realm side. It's in the spiritual realm. That's our home. That's where your spiritual body will reside, Christian. Have hope in that. Understand that all the time. Strengthen yourself in that thought. Never forget it. Never, ever, ever forget that. You have that hope awaiting you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1 also telling us that heaven is the perfect city beyond the scale of the universe. We can also, of course, read in Revelation 21. I don't have the time to do it, but brethren, I encourage you, please, tonight or this week, whenever, read Revelation 21. Please. I'm going to do a sermon on heaven sooner or later, but please read Revelation 21 on your own time. Revelation, really that whole chapter there, talking about heaven. You know, the new heavens and the new earth, but really all descriptive of heaven itself. That thing that we're all hoping for. So make sure you read that chapter on your own time, and please do so. Have faith in that. That's what's awaiting you after this life as a Christian, as a child of God. That's the home that God has prepared for you as His child. John 14, Jesus promised that same thing to you as His follower. Understand that's awaiting you. Your spiritual body will be going there. And that while this physical body may not last forever, guess what? You have an eternal body inside you that does. You have another part of you that does. God made that for you. He made you in His image. Never forget that. It's easy to do so in the hardships of life. But understand that you have a spiritual body that will continue on after this life. That this is not the end. It's just not. That whenever that car crash or whatever happens out in the, you know, blink of an eye and you never saw it coming, that's not the end. Your body may be crushed and mutilated and whatever going on, the physical body, but your spiritual body didn't get affected at all. And it went on. That's amazing. And that's God's power. And it goes on. You need to have faith in that. You need to have belief with that hope together. Understanding that those things are so. And seek that homeland all the time. Understand that this is not your homeland. Seek the homeland. This stone and this wood that we build out our houses with and all these different things, this is not our home. No matter how hard we work for it, this is not our home. It never will be. This earth is a temporary residing place, a place on which we are to build ourselves spiritually for God and be worthy of heaven and build others, of course, spiritually, bringing forth the gospel to the world. Are we doing that, Christian? And, of course, for yourself first, are you having that faith? Now, closing remarks here. We also know, of course, that Abraham is currently in paradise. I won't go too much on that because we really went a lot in on that this morning. But Luke chapter 16, verses 22 through 23, if you want to write that down. But Luke 16, 22 through 23, Abraham, Jesus accounting, even that scene of where Abraham, currently in paradise, you know, being able to see beyond that veil, onto the other side, onto the spiritual side of things. Able to see even into paradise, Jesus revealing that. What a beautiful thing to know that those things are currently happening. That the saints are in paradise right now. That's awaiting you, Christian. What a beautiful thing. By faith, believe that. God has prepared that city for us. There's multiple accounts that we can look at. I don't have the time, once again, to go through all of them. But Philippians 3:20. Well, we'll go to 2 Corinthians 5. But you can write down Philippians 3:20 through 31. But we'll go to 2 Corinthians 5 and verses 1 through 5. These will be the last things we read. Second Corinthians 5, 1 through 5. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, verse 2, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we, who are in this tent, groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared for us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So, more beautiful verses, Christians, to help encourage you and strengthen you. More, you know, verbiage, more different types of wording that we can use. Even this tent. We need to understand that this fleshly body is temporary. This life may be pleasurable at times. It has its blessings. And this is not a lesson to say that this life doesn't have blessings. Because it does, and God has given those blessings to us. All good things come from God. But this tent, this body, it's temporary. And what's better is that which is after this life. We need to understand that. We need to be happy with that. We need to want that. We need to want heaven. You've got to be ready for that. Do you want heaven? Do you want a life after this life? I think everyone in this room would say yes. If you want that, then act on it with that belief. Act on it with that belief of faith. Of course, faith and works together, right? That's the truth. James 2. But act on it with also faith that has hope. That you always remember that there is a heaven awaiting, that there is something better. That belief that you have is supported by something divine. Something divine that has guaranteed you, even in many different ways. With Jesus, as we just read there, the Holy Spirit even as a guarantee. Heaven as a guarantee for the child of God. All these different things. So, so beautiful. Think about all that God has done for you, all that God has done for mankind, and be encouraged. 2 Corinthians 5:7, Christians, we walk by faith and not by sight. That little short verse right there sums up faith, really, as far as in the Christian life. We walk by it. We walk by that faith. We don't walk by fleshly sight. We walk by belief in something that is hoped for, that has evidence of things not seen, as Hebrews 11:1 says. The lesson is yours, brethren. I hope this lesson has encouraged you. I hope this has strengthened you for the week ahead and for much, much time ahead. I hope you get into your Bibles more. I hope you read more about these different topics like heaven, like the endurance of a Christian, like maybe even the armor of God. Ephesians is not the only place where it talks about the armor of God. There's many, many different accounts that you can read throughout Scripture that will strengthen you in your walk with God. I hope you will take advantage of the Bible that is always before you. If you have any need tonight, brethren, physical, mental, or spiritual, I always say, please do let us know and let us help you tonight. Let us pray with you. Let us strengthen all of us together. If you have sin in your life, please, let us help you, of course, as well. Get rid of that tonight. Let us help you get that repented of and completely away. Because sin will separate you from your God, and we do not want that to happen. You don't want that to happen. If you have any need tonight, brethren, come to the front as we stand and as we praise God together.
Seated, please.